Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
One of the house rules for After Hours: storylines, not betting lines. And I do that on purpose because I don't want to be affected by what people think might happen. The line that Vegas sets or the betting that's taking place on a particular team or outcome or game. In fact, I purposely remain ignorant of most of what has to do with the gambling aspect of sports. However, I am fascinated by the way it's changed the industry that we're in. I ask you guys a lot, why is the NFL so popular? What's contributed to its rise and the fact that it continues to see ratings increases and revenue increases? And there's always that element of gambling and fantasy football. And so as we head into 2020, with more and more states who are making sports gambling and sports betting legal, we thought it would be interesting to see it through the eyes of someone who works inside the gambling industry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us again. Happy New Year to you. A lot of you are back into your regular, quote unquote, routines now as we begin 2020. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with a Rocket Mortgage push button. Get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we'll get back to your feedback. We're also going to look ahead to the NFL postseason, plus a pretty crazy slate of outcomes and games on New Year's Day in college football. So a lot that we still have on our plate. But right now we're pleased to spend some time in Las Vegas with Johnny Avello, who's the head of the sports book for DraftKings. And Johnny, this is a start of a brand new year, and it's also more doors opening around the country for sports fans who want to place bets. New Hampshire just became the latest state to offer sports betting. And honestly, we can see the landscape changing around the country, the industry itself, the business. You've been inside the gambling industry for 40 years. So how are you seeing it change?
Well, for me, it's a huge change, and as well as anybody else that hasn't worked in Las Vegas in the industry. Las Vegas was the only place where you could make a sports wager, except for a couple places like Delaware, who was doing it a little differently. They were doing it in a parlay format. But Las Vegas was, if you really wanted to play the games in, you know, different types of ways, different types of offerings, you had to go to Vegas. And now, here we are, you know, DraftKings, we opened up the New Jersey book back in July of 18. And here we are a year and a half later, have 8 books and looking forward to a whole bunch more coming up this year. So how's it changed, Amy? It's changed is that it's not in one place anymore. It's in a town near you.
Is this something that you could see was coming on the horizon way back?
Honestly, no. I didn't think that it would probably happen outside of Nevada. I said that I don't think it's ever going to become legal. The states just don't want it, and so I didn't see it happening until the repeal of PASPA, which was the beginning of 18, the end of Act 17, actually, and then we were all waiting for that court case to be settled, and sometime around, I think it was May or so, April, May. And I felt pretty confident that that court case was going to reverse it. So that's when I was more optimistic than I've ever been.
Referring to U.S. Supreme Court in 2018 that had this case in which they paved the way for states to allow sports betting. So now we see it underway in 14 different states, and it's approved, though not yet up and running, in another 6 states. Johnny Avello is the DraftKings head of sportsbook with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's one of these phenomenons that affect sports, and yet I'm not sure sports fans exactly or understand exactly how much. How often is this done via a phone or online as opposed to actually going to a particular location in a sports book?
Some states will allow you to do the mobile wagering, or digital as we call it, because you can do it on your mobile or you can do it on your computer. And some states have elected not to go that route initially. When I say initially, I think of they'll all go the digital way eventually, because that's how you have the most robust business. It's great. Retail places are great. We have them. We have a retail place in New York. We have a retail place in Mississippi. We have a retail place in New Jersey as well. But and they all do really well. But the Jersey app, the Pennsylvania, who opened up recently, you mentioned Rhode Island. Those places that in Indiana, those places that have the digital aspect of it, they're going gangbusters. So that's the way to go. But I can't. The states are the ones that make up the decision whether they want to do it or not, and eventually I think they'll all come around to it.
Mm. How much does this affect Las Vegas, where people used to go specifically so they could gamble on sports?
It hasn't affected Las Vegas yet. The numbers coming out of Las Vegas are still good, and I think they'll continue to be good. There's some good people there, good operators there, but as this continues to expand in more states, could be another 10, 15 states this year, 2020. So that has to take, it has to show at some point whether the people won't go there for maybe some of the bigger events, that Vegas has, the March Madness, and they'll stay home because their state's able to do it.
Mm.
At some point, it has to affect them somewhat, but so far, they're kind of holding their own.
We obviously are heading into the NFL playoffs, and I ask people all the time about the popularity of the NFL. It really does defy the trends in other sports as well as other genres of TV programming, in that it continues to increase in popularity. And I always hear that one of the big reasons for that is gambling and fantasy football. How have you seen that specific sport expand when it comes to those two elements?
Well, first of all, let's start with fantasy, because that's where our company actually started out back in 2012. And fantasy is still going very, very strong. Happy to say that fantasy is doing as well as it's ever done, better actually than it's ever done. And remember, during the NFL season, we're paying out millionaires every weekend. Somebody's winning $1 million. So that's an untold story there that a lot of people don't realize. We talk about these big bets out there, that we take $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 bets, but fantasy football is out there, making somebody rich every weekend. So that's another story. The NFL itself is the biggest betting, proposition that we offer. I was looking at the numbers for December. And now, remember, we had September, October, November, all good months for the NFL.
Right.
And then here's December, where we had 4 weeks of December, and the numbers were just great in December. I mean, they were the largest numbers we had for the whole year. So the NFL is king, always has been king, and still holding that status.
That's interesting that you say that, because as someone who works in sports broadcasting, this has nothing to do with gambling. I feel the same way. We see our numbers go up and up and up as the NFL gets deeper into its season, and of course culminating with the postseason. So then what is the month of January like, and early February with the playoffs and ultimately the Super Bowl?
Well, these are big games, and they're going to have big money bet on them. The reason that they won't compete with a whole slate of the NFL is for that reason only. A whole slate versus, two games on a Saturday and two games on a Sunday. But these are great games, and people can't wait to the playoffs start, because now everything is more meaningful. This is what the teams have played for all year long. And four of these games coming up this weekend are going to write a huge amount of money.
He is the head of DraftKings Sportsbook, Johnny Avello, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, based in Las Vegas. Though now you can gamble on sports in the NFL in a variety of other locations around the United States. How does college football compare, since these days we have games every single afternoon and evening as part of the bowl season?
Oh, boy, do we. these things, this has been going on for a couple of weeks now. And, you know, when these bowls matchups are announced, you know, the team and I, we sit down and we make the numbers and we get them up as quick as we can. We usually have them up a couple hours after the matchups. And then our work's done on college football for the bowl season. And then the players take over and they bet them early. And then they sit around for until we get closer to game time. And then they start betting them, you know, as they come up each and every day. But it's a lot. So I said to my staff the other day, guys, you had enough college football yet? Because, you know, it's the whole season, big slates every Saturday. And then in November, we start having them every, you know, Mondays and Tuesdays. And there's games every single night of the week. And then we do this bowl game. So I think the team is, you know, they love football just like everybody else. But I think, you know, it's trying. The whole season is kind of wears on us.
Yes, I understand that. How does it compare to the NFL?
It does really well. There's so many more games than the NFL, remember. You know, the NFL has its 16 games on a full slate, whereas college is, you know, they could have 50 on a weekend. And so there's so many more games. And college football, even though it'll write a fair amount of money regardless of who's playing on given weeks, when you have those good weeks where there's, you know, six or eight really solid matchups, everybody's games people are looking forward to, those weeks are going to write more. So sometimes it's about what the matchups are for the given week. But college football, growth in that every year also. So it's not far behind the NFL. Football, I mentioned the NFL being king, but football just in general. You know, football is what everyone loves and has loved for many years.
Sure. How much did it change with the advent of the playoff, where we now have college football games that, while not as extensive as the NFL playoffs, you've got bowl games after the first of the year that matter for a championship?
Yes, we do. And, well, as you get New Year, first of all, New Year's Day has some really good games, you know, and the playoffs last were on a Saturday, which was great. They were positioned really well this year. They took place, you know, at a 1 o'clock game, and I'm talking West Coast time. On East Coast, they were positioned at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. So, positioned for prime time, and those games wrote a lot of money. I mean, they were just, you know, two big games, especially the Clemson Ohio State. That was probably one of the better matchups that I've seen in college football for a really long time. So everybody was looking forward to that one. And now here we are with a team that we thought would probably get there because they talked about their schedule being weak all year, that being the Clemson Tigers going against the other Tigers, the LSU team, who I think everybody anticipated a good year, but not a year like this. And they actually went from maybe 2 weeks ago talking about them being a small underdog, regardless of who they played in the final, to being the favorite, and because of what they've accomplished as of late.
All right, Johnny. So before I let you go then, how does football then compare to, say, the other team sports like NBA, like Major League Baseball, like the NHL, where you have more games and more accessibility, but maybe not the same sense of urgency during the regular season?
I'll kind of break it down for you in percentages. Football is probably 50-55% of, you know, all the money that we write. Now, I'm not talking about win-loss. I'm talking about the handle, the money that's actually written on the games.
Ah.
That's probably 50-55%. And then you have basketball. That would be all college and pro basketball. That's probably somewhere around 25-30%, and then you have baseball and hockey, and then all the other stuff. Baseball and hockey do a significant amount, and then after that, it's all the other stuff: the NASCARs, the soccers, the tennis, the golf. You know, we just have so much going. But football is probably north of 50% of the business.
interesting to see it through the eyes of someone who's following a sports calendar based on the business of gambling. And it's become a much bigger business. Johnny Avello is the head of DraftKings Sportsbook. You can follow DraftKings on Twitter at DraftKings or the DK Sportsbook. Certain to be another year of change in your industry in 2020. Happy New Year to you, Johnny, and thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
You're welcome, Amy. Talk soon.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
When I first started on CBS Sports Radio in January of 2013, we did not have a name for the show. And we actually held a contest to name the show. It was pretty crazy. It was our first weekend on the air. So my first 2 years of working here at the network were Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday evening. And there were regular time slots, and a lot of you first discovered the show then. But we didn't know what to name the show, and so we took hundreds of submissions and suggestions about what we should name our radio show. And there were some slimy ones. There were some icky ones. There were some stupid ones. I just have to be honest. But I like what we've called the show.
Survivor Island.
There were very few of you that were left on Survivor Island. We ended up narrowing it down. I did have veto power, but I think we put a poll up, or I don't remember exactly what we did. We narrowed it down to a few good suggestions, and we ended up with After Hours. And it sticks. I feel like it's part of my identity now after 7 years. We've just celebrated 7 years. This is year number 8. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Steve, who's listening in San Diego. Happy New Year, Steve.
Hi, Amy. Love your show very much.
Thank you.
I want to share a great Don Larson story with you, and a yogiism that's never been written about or talked about to my knowledge at all. So Don Larson went to Point Loma High School here along with my father, and they both graduated and signed respectively, Larson with the Yankees, my father with the Dodgers, and went on their own ways and became very, very close friends for the remainder of their lives. They're both, you know, have passed now. But Don Larson was in the 50s. This is the story. This is the yogiism. It's never been written about, to my knowledge. In the 50s, Larson, Mantle, and Berra finished a game in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium and went down the street to their favorite bar and walked into the bar to have a drink. They sat down, they had their drink, and they looked through the front door, and in through the front door walked Ty Cobb. Okay? So they sat there and they said, oh my God. Mantle said, oh my God, that's Ty Cobb. What do you think he would hit today? How do you think he would hit today's pitching? And so Larson said, well, geez, he's a 370 lifetime hitter. I'd say 340. And Mantle said, yeah, I'd say about 330, 340. And Berra said 260. And Mantle and Larson said, Yogi, what are you talking about? He's a lifetime 370 hitter. And Berra said, yeah, but he's 78 years old. That's the story.
And so where did you hear the story?
From Don Larson.
You heard it from him specifically?
Yes.
That's cool. What a memory.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's another yogiism.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Okay. And it's true.
Okay. I mean, I can't say if it's true or it's not true, but we're going to take your word for it, Steve.
No, it's a good one. It's for real.
Awesome.
That was Yogi.
Well, that's neat.
Anyway, thanks for your show. We love you.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Have a great new year. Let's talk to John, who's in Massachusetts. Welcome to After Hours.
Going back to David Stern a sec. Without David Stern, the one person who probably appreciates David Stern even more than Magic Johnson would have to be Greg Popovich. without David Stern, we don't have those San Antonio Spurs teams. And we don't have Tony Parker married to Eva Longoria either.
Well, they're not married anymore, but... Is that
that's all I got.
Oh, clearly that's not enough. I don't really know what his point was, but I think he's a few years out of touch and out of date. Maybe he should have called back in year number one of CBS Sports Radio. But you know what? This is one of my rules as a host. If you want to call up and embarrass yourself on national radio, that is your choice. It is a free country. As long as you're not insulting, well, actually, I don't even care if you insult me, but as long as you're not being mean and rude to other people. But if you want to expose yourself, well, that's up to you. Oh, goodness. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Because we have just wrapped up another year, and if you listen to my show, you know I'm a geek when it comes to numbers, and that includes stats as well as TV broadcast numbers and ratings. So I have in my possession the most watched primetime telecasts of 2019, and yes, there is a decidedly sports flavor to it. We'll get to that next. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Maybe embarrass yourself there first before you call the show. And then on our Facebook page as well.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I have the beauty of enjoying it, watching his success and the league's success and the value of the franchises and their media rights continue to expand and the global business going gangbusters. I think it's great, and I'm enjoying that from where I'm sitting.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The late David Stern, on his final day as commissioner of the NBA, he retired from that position in 2014. He was a guest on our New York affiliate WFAN with Tony Page, who has since retired from radio himself. Pretty cool. But we're remembering David Stern now because he died on Wednesday at the age of 77. He was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2014 as well. And he talked about what a huge fan he was. And the Knicks were his team that he rooted for.
I grew up actually believing that Harry Gallatin was better than Bill Russell because I was a Knicks fan and I love this game. And that's what fanship does when you love a team. But Bill Russell is someone who is special to the NBA in many unique ways. First of all, at a time when our sport was under duress because people said it was getting too black, I remember this guy named Russell who played with this other guy named Cousy, the best basketball that I think ever existed in the world, and it dawned on me that we had something to teach the world.
I like that. He used the NBA and its challenges to make it better. And it was interesting. I was reading some of the I guess you could call them obituaries, but articles that were posted on David Stern's passing. And when he took over the NBA in 1984, there were a lot of drug issues with the league. The image of the league was in the toilet. People complained about its reputation, but also about its pedigree, and honestly complained that the league itself was too black, whatever that means. Just a completely different era from the mid-80s. And then you had Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You had Michael Jordan entering the league the same year that David Stern took over, and you had a leader and a visionary who understood how to market the superstars, how to turn them into household names, but also how to draw in new fans because of the way these players, and these are just a few of them, were highlighted and spotlighted. And that, of course, is a partnership with, it wasn't social media back then, it was a partnership with their TV, their radio. It was also a partnership with companies and businesses, and that would increase the revenue. But you can't do that if there's a bad image, a bad reputation. And certainly the league took a hit with the Malice at the Palace, the big brawl that took place in Detroit. Certainly the league took a hit when there were multiple lockouts and work stoppages. The Tim Donaghy scandal. All of these things were black marks that occurred under David Stern. But ultimately, what people remember is how he expanded the league, how he increased the opportunities for athletes, for players, and how he treated them fairly. He was tough, but he was fair. You'll hear that a lot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So because 2019 is now in the rearview mirror, I thought it'd be fun to take a brief walk down memory lane. It's a short one, too, because we're just talking about the last 12 months. But the most watched primetime broadcast of 2019, no surprise, littered with sports. Boom! Super Bowl 53. Rams-Patriots. Top telecast of the year. Averaging, now this is down from the Super Bowl's all-time audiences, but averaging 98.8 million viewers. Wowzers. Football still dominates primetime viewing. Are you surprised? Don't be. I tell you all the time, the NFL and college football to an extent, but the NFL specifically continues to see its ratings increase after a couple of down years. A lot of explanations for that, but continues to see the ratings increase, even though in every other genre of TV programming, ratings are declining.
And nerd alert!
That includes other sports telecasts and broadcasts. The NBA, we had a big discussion about why NBA ratings are down so far in 2019 and now early in 2020. We don't have a sample size yet, but we will. Football still dominates. The NFL and college football, with the championship game, took six of the top 10 slots in viewership in 2019.
That's nerd stuff.
And 20 of the top 50. So expanding it out, the top 50 most watched programs of 2019 featured 20 football games.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
Not these numbers. Now, you did have Game of Thrones that dominated for a while, especially as it was on its way out. You also had the end of the Big Bang Theory. CBS is definitely going to miss that sitcom that ran for 12 years. And the Academy Awards, though their numbers were way down, but it was the most watched entertainment program of the year. Super Bowl, though, Sunday Night Football, huge. The idea that the NFL is a dying breed, a dying sport, no one ever says it anymore. That has completely been debunked.
Take that for data.
I can give you the specific shows if you like. Super Bowl number one, 98.8 million viewers. AFC Championship. Overtime, Patriots at the Chiefs, Arrowhead Stadium, 54.4 million viewers. Right behind that, Rams Cowboys, playoff game on Fox, 33.7 million viewers. Then you had the Academy Awards at number four, Cowboys Seahawks on Fox in the playoffs, 29.7 million viewers. Then the Big Bang Theory, Then Sunday Night Football, Saints Cowboys, regular season game in September, mind you. 24.8 million viewers. Interestingly enough, rounding out the top 10, so number 10, the first of the sports broadcast that was not football. Game 7, Nationals Astros in Houston. A huge ratings bonanza for Fox, 23.3 million viewers. And then listen to this, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, all Sunday Night Football broadcasts. You want to know why NBC spends so much money on Sunday Night Football? That's why. Seriously, in the top 16, number 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 are all Sunday Night Football broadcasts.
Told you everything I know.
That's so not true. Bill Belichick never tells us everything he knows. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Jack, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours.
And very interesting show tonight. I'm very sorry about Mr. Stern. I didn't know too much about him, but you're giving us good information. I'm enjoying that.
Thank you, sir.
I do have some thoughts about Don Larson and his ties to Mickey Mantle were very strong. You may not know, you probably do know since you know so much about sports, but in 1956 when the Yankees won that World Series after Don Larson pitched that perfect game, that was not the final game of the series, but
no.
It truly was an extraordinary thing. And in that game, Mickey Mantle hit a solo home run for most of the runs. Half of the runs of the Yankees' two runs that they scored, and he also made his most famous catch of all time, at least in his mind, a running catch on a strong drive to the outfield, and he ran it down with his amazing speed. So I can see the three of them being together after the game, as your previous caller referenced. I would not doubt that that would be likely true. I heard something about Mickey in his later years after I think Mickey Henderson once got a contract for $3 million.
That sounds so funny now, right?
That day, and it was truly unheard of. Someone interviewed Mickey Mantle. I believe I saw this on the film of the Mick. I could be mistaken. Said, Mickey, how do you relate to the money these ballplayers are getting now? You used to get $100,000 a year, and that was top pay, and now they're getting millions. What do you think? He said, what do you think you'd get if you were playing today? He said, I don't know. I suppose about $500,000. Mick, is that all, $500,000? He says, yeah, I'm 50-some years old now. That might have been borrowed from what they were saying, Yogi was saying about Ty Cobb there. I don't know, but that's what I heard he said. I'm 50-some years old now, so I don't need to be worth $500,000.
Yeah, it's crazy to compare. It's not even possible to compare salaries or the style of play or the rules of the game, and that applies to baseball as well as basketball. Even as I'm talking about David Stern, I keep thinking about how different the NBA was 30-something years ago.
Well, I think it's great to see the strides that players are making where the black and whites are playing together as equals. Kuzi and Russell, yeah, that's a very good story, and I know they got along great. I read Bill Russell's autobiography. It's a powerful read. And I must say it's good to see that the players are getting their due, and the monies they're getting now is outrageous, it seems, but at the same time, a lot of these athletes, they were making huge money for the owners and stuff, and they were not getting the pay. It's good to see that they're advancing. As you're presenting tonight, a lot of advancements from people like Mr. Stern. And in baseball and in other fields, too, they're getting more. The athletes are getting more of what they deserve because they put a lot on the line for a short period of their lifetime.
Well, and one of the things that David Stern did that is so appreciated is that he was an advocate for the athletes. As much as he represented the owners, he was fair to the athletes, and he wanted to make sure that they got their due because they were the ones who were on the court. They were the ones who were putting fans in the seats. He was just giving them that platform and expanding that platform. So all good stuff, Jack. Thank you so much for calling.
For the good report, it's good to hear.
Yes, for sure. Happy New Year to you. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Yes, yes. Some good news for the new year. Switch to Geico, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So coming up top of the hour, we'll switch it up and we'll start talking about the NFL postseason a little bit, because we are now mere hours away from the AFC on Saturday. It's weird, right? A little bit odd, because we're typically getting an AFC and an NFC game on Saturday and then AFC and NFC on Sunday. And the NFL kind of finagles which games it thinks are better in which time slots. Don't tell the Bills and Texans, but generally that Saturday afternoon time slot is considered the ugly redheaded stepchild of the wild card weekend in the NFL. But prime time on Saturday night, Patriots, Gillette Stadium, Foxborough under the lights. Certainly, as the reigning Super Bowl champ, having to play on the first weekend of the NFL postseason, that's not something we've seen in a long time. So lots of interest around these playoff games. So we'll dive into them a little bit. If you don't mind, I have to write a CBS Sports Minute as we hit the top of this next hour. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Glad to have you on board. Happy New Year. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.